Heyam and Aleph, halfway down the Omud of the two dots, Rav Nechemia Omer, and we're still analyzing the various shitas about Bein HaShmoshos, one of which we saw back on Daf Lamed Dalet Omud Beis, and that was the shita of Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Kidei Shehalech Adam Mishetishka Chama Chatzi Mil, from Shkia, Bein HaShmoshos continues for a period of how long it takes to walk half a meal, and we suggested that a meal would take 18 minutes, so this would be 9 minutes. After that 9 minutes beyond Shkia, it becomes Laila. Omer Rav Chanina, Harotza Leida Shi'uro Shel Rabbi Nechemia, if you want to know how long Bein HaShmoshos is according to Rav Nechemia, then Yaniya Chamabrosha Carmel, and we mentioned that he's on top of the Carmel Mountain. He goes down into the Mediterranean Sea to do Tefillah, the Yalan. He replaced himself all the way back on the top of Mount Carmel, and by that time it's night. Zerush Yerushal Rebbe Nechemia. And then the last thing we studied was a little bit of an Agadta about Harotza Liros Be'erushal Miriam. Fine. So that's what we did in the last year. So now we're going to start from the two dots of Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. And if you're counting up from the bottom of Lamed Hey Amad Aleph, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. And again, we're discussing the various shitas in the Tanoim about the definition of Bein HaShmoshos. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Bein HaShmoshos, De Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim Tovlim Bo. Now, we know that Rabbi Yehuda has a shita of Bein HaShmoshos, which the Gemara seems to be analyzing right now. The Gemara is going to change its mind here that this cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see why. Because what the Gemara is setting up is that the Kohanim are Tovel, if they became Tomei, during Bein HaShmoshos. Now, the Tvilas Kohanim, in order to set up Harif Shemesh, that has to be during the day. And Bein HaShmoshos is Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. So at the face of it, we really don't know what's going on here. How could Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel say that during Bein HaShmoshos, Kohanim could be Tovel, and then that same evening after Harif Shemesh, they can eat the Truma? That doesn't make any sense because that's daytime. Laman. So the Gemara says, how do we understand this statement? Ilei Mil Rabbi Yehuda, if you take it literally, and this is the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, we already learned that Bein HaShmoshos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sveikahu. It's a suffix whether it's Yom or Laila. So how can you allow the Kohen to consider this as Yom for purposes of Tefillah, such that he can eat the Truma after dark that same night, when Bein HaShmoshos itself is a suffix? And there's no way you could allow Lakula, a tefillah of a Kohen on during Bein HaShmoshos, unless you want to wait one more day for the next Harif Shemesh tomorrow night. But as far as this Harif Shemesh is concerned, that makes no sense. Ella, so the Gemara reinterprets Shmuel's statement. Bein HaShmoshos, de Rabbi Yehuda, le Rabbi Yossi Kohenim Tovlim Bo. There's a piece missing here in the transmission of this statement of Shmuel. And that is, what would Rabbi Yossi say about Bein HaShmoshos of Rabbi Yehuda? Because we know that Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa maintains that Bein HaShmoshos is Keherif Ayin. And what Shmuel is trying to tell me now, that Keherif Ayin of Bein HaShmoshos of Rabbi Yossi is after the Bein HaShmoshos of Rabbi Yehuda. So when you finish with the Bein HaShmoshos of Rabbi Yehuda, then you have Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShmoshos Keherif Ayin. So therefore it makes sense now that the Kohen went to be Tovil during the Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, sometime after Shkia. According to Rabbi Yossi, that would be Yom, because the Safek Yom of Rabbi Yossi begins after the Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, Peshitta, we know that Rabbi Yossi's Ben Hashmoshes begins later than that of Rabbi Yehuda. So what have you told me here? What Chiddush Shmuel coming to teach us? Ma'odetem, I would have thought, Ben Hashmoshes to Rabbi Yossi, Meshach Shayach to Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps there's some overlap between Rabbi Yosef's definition of Ben Hashmoshes and that of Rabbi Yehuda. So it could be Rabbi Yossi starts a little later and is in the kickoff of Ben Hashmoshes than Rabbi Yehuda, but nevertheless it's still within that framework of the Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, which means that it's still considered Vadayo. The beginning half of Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, that's considered Yom according to Rabbi Yossi. Kamash Malan, no. Tishlimle Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda. That anytime during Ben Hashmoshes, not only the beginning of Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, but even towards the end of Ben Hashmoshes, it's all Vada Yom according to Rabbi Yossi. Because it's only after the completion of the Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, then Vahadar Maschil Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi's Ben Hashmoshes begins where the Ben Hashmoshes of Yehuda ends. So that during the entire period of Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, it's Vada Yom according to Rabbi Yossi, and therefore the Kohen can be Tovil. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now that we've clarified that Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbi Yossi is still Vada Yom, and only at the end of Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yossi's Ben Hashmoshes begins. We could also flip it around the other way and say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yossi is Vada Laila, because that begins after the conclusion of Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi l'inyan Truma. In other words, that which at the kickoff of Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Hashmoshes is according to Rabbi Yossi Vada Yom, and therefore we'd have no problem doing Malach at that point on a Friday afternoon. But nevertheless, we're going to have to go L'chumra like Rabbi Yehuda and consider that period from the beginning of Shkia within that Ben Hashmoshes Rabbi Yehuda as a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And hence we have to avoid Malacha because Safek Doraisa. But when we get to Truma, here we can paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And the reason for that is, as the Gemara, well, let's actually wait till we see the Gemara's analysis of this. And the Gemara says the following: Bishlei Malacha Krab Yehuda Linyan Shabbos L'Chumra. This we understand very well. As we said before, the Ben Hashmoshes of Rabbi Yehuda is going to be also L'Chumra because it might be Laila, it might be Shabbos, but Aval Linyan Truma. Maihi, what is the meaning of the statement that we should accept Rabbi Yossi l'inyan Truma? Ilema l'tvila. If you're going to tell me about the time period for tvila, which means Yom, as opposed to Laila, is Sveikah. Once again, we should be machmir for Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Hashmoshes is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. And here we turn to Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. And the Gemara says, Ella, Baradalinyan Achilas Truma. So that which Rabbi Yochanan said that we could paskin, that we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that's as far as Achilas Truma. The lo achli konim Truma ad the shalom ben Hashmoshes to Rabbi Yossi. In other words, you have to be Machmir Rabbi Yossi, who has a later ben Hashmoshes and a later Laila, Vare Laila, than Rabbi Yehuda, in order to allow the Kohen to eat Truma, because the Kohen's not allowed to eat Truma on the same day that he went to Tevila. He has to wait till the next day, which means nighttime. And we're going to assume, L'chumra, the latest time for Vare Laila, which is going to be like Rabbi Yossi. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Kochav Echad Yom, Shnai Ben Hashmoshes, Shlosha Laila. And What the Gemara, in the name of Shmuel, is doing is offering us a way, a very easy sort of method by which we could determine whether we are in Yom, whether we are in Beit HaShemashel, Sofer Yom, Sofer Laila, or whether in Vaday Laila. And that is depending on the stars. So when one star is visible in the sky, then we know that it is Yom. It's still Vaday Yom. Shnayim bein hashmashos. But if we've seen two stars, we'll see the size of the stars later, that's already bein hashmashos. But shlosha, once we've seen three stars come out, then it's vaday laila. Tanya nami hochi, we have a braisa that reiterates what we saw, the name of Shmuel, kochav echad yom, shnayim bein hashmashos, and shlosha laila. But this braisa now goes ahead and quotes Rabbi Yossi. Omer Rabbi Yossi, lo kochavim gedolim anim bayom, lo kochavim ketanim shein nirim evel b'layla ela beinonim. What kind of stars are we talking about? If you have large stars, those are visible even by day. If you have small stars, those are visible only at night when it's fully dark. So neither of these two categories, neither the largest stars nor the smallest stars, will really be a good barometer to tell you whether it's Yom V'Laila. But rather we're talking about middle-sized stars. They're not too large and not too small. Now, it's interesting that we have already determined when Laila is in the past. That's the sugi that we did yesterday, with regard to Hichsif, when the upper sky reaches a level of darkness that's equivalent to that of the lower sky. So why is this Bryce, and Shmuel before that recorded the Bryce, so have to give us the sign of the three stars? And the answer is, for most people, says the Miri, it's difficult for them to figure out exactly when the upper sky is as dark as the lower sky. We're not all great astronomers, and therefore the Brisa and Rabbi Yehuda wanted to give us an easier way of determining when it's Safek Yom, Safek Laila, when it's Vaday Laila, and that's by looking up at the stars. Now, we had a Brisa back on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis that defined Bein HaShemashos as not only Safek Yom, Safek Laila, but also of both Yom and Laila. It was a mixture of both Yom and Laila. So if somebody would do Malacha Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, he may have actually violated the Shabbos, and that is because we have a Safek. We don't know if it's Shabbos or not. And the Gemara now wants to point out that there are certain situations in which you could have a vaday violation of Lecha Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Zvida Ha'osa Malacha B'Shnei Bein HaShemashos. So let's say going into Shabbos he did Malacha during Bein HaShemashos, and coming out of Shabbos on Motzi Shabbos he did Malacha during Bein HaShemashos. Chayev Chatos Mimonafshach. In such a case he certainly is Chayev Chatos. Let's go through the various possibilities. If, let's say, you would tell me, just 1 second. Here. He says the following. Ha'osem alochem b'shnei ben ha'shmashos, ha'inu shal erv shal shomotzi Shabbos. He says, "Ein kan sofek el chayev chatos mimonafshach. In bein hashmashos laila hu, then he's chayev for erev Shabbos. If bein hashmashos is yom, then he's chayev for the malacha on motzi Shabbos." And let's make sure we understand the mathematics here, because if bein hashmashos is laila, then if he did a malach on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemashos, he's doing it during Vaday Laila. If, on the other hand, Bein HaShemashos is Vaday Yom, then a Motzi Shabbos, when he did a malach Bein HaShemashos, he certainly violated Malach Shabbos. Of that we can have no doubt. Omalei Rava L'Shami. Rava told his servant, atun you to lo kim lechu b'shirah d'rabbanan. You're not such bekiyim to know when exactly is benish mashos. Ad d'shimsha areish dikle. You do malacha only when you see that the sun is still on the top of the date trees. So that's still very early. Aslu shraga, go ahead and light your candle. So Gemara says, B'yom hama'unan, my. How is this advice going to help on a cloudy day? I mean, this is all predicated on the assumption that there's this sunlight. And the Gemara answers, B'masa, if you're in the city, then at what time should you light Ner Shabbos? Chazi Tarnagola, once you see the hens and they're sitting on the koros, Mivod Yom, so while it's still daylight, the roosters will perch themselves on roofs. That's the kora, otherwise known as tikra. And then he says that Vidabra, if you're not in the city, but you're in the field, then Arve, then you'll find that the ravens gather together in the field, and it's still daylight, because once it gets dark, they disperse. And then finally, Inami, we give you another option, Adone. Now let's look at the Adone, which is a type of gourd, that its leaves actually bend together with the sun. First they face towards the east when the sun is rising, and then slowly, gradually, they angle themselves towards the west as the sun moves towards the west. So you can tell exactly when the sun is about to set by observing the angle of the leaves of this Adani. And this is going to be the way that you can tell when it's Lila. Now, at this point, perhaps we'll take a little break as a little bit of a review, kind of a summary before we start the sugi of the Tekios. And we'll mention the following, that with regard to Rabbi Yehuda and Bein Hashmashos, then some Rishonim find a stira between Rabbi Yehuda here and Rabbi Yehuda in Masecht Pesachim. So let's start with Rabba's view. Rabba's view of Rabbi Yehuda, which we learned back on Lamed Daled Amid Beis, is perhaps the most expansive view of Bein Hashmashos. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, the period of Bein Hashmashos is from sunset until nightfall, which is three quarters of a meal. We had an alternative, Rav Yosef, that was, he interpreted the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda as two-thirds of a meal. But let's say we go with Rabba. So from the time that the sun sets until nightfall is the time it takes to walk three-quarters of a meal, which we said approximately, let's say it was 12 minutes. The Gemara Pesachim quotes Rabbi Yehuda, and he says that the period of time between sunset and Tzeisa Kochavim, which is the time that it takes to walk 4 mil, that is the interval, that's the time period which we call Bein Hashmashos. So we really have two different approaches to understand Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda actually is contradicting himself. Is it three quarters of a meal or is it 4 mil? And there are a number of different shitas and rishonim as to how to reconcile this. In truth, the Maharam al-Akshar quotes Gaonim. So we're really going back to the period of the Gaonim, that Rabbi Yehuda actually changed his mind. Initially, he was of the opinion that it's not considered Laila until 4 mil after sunset. However, later in his life, he retracted his original position, and instead he reduced it down to three quarters of a meal. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, famously reconciles these two statements of Rabbi Yehuda because they're two shkios. He has the first shkia and the second shkia. When Rabbi Yehuda said that the time period, this is Rabbi Yehuda Psachim from shkia until Tzeisek HaKovim is actually 4 mil, he's referring to a we call shkia sachama, which means the moment when the sun completely disappears below the horizon. However, when he said 3/4 of a meal, which separates sunset and nightfall, he was speaking of a second shkia. And that's the shkia of the sunlight in the sky, what we call residue sunlight. And this is defined as the point when the sky as a whole ceases to appear light, and there's a distinct redness that's visible in the western sky. Now, if we take this approach, then Rabbi Yehuda means that after regular ordinary sunset, it is still legally daytime for another 3 1/4 mil. And at that point, 3 1/4 mil, then the second sunset occurs, and Bein HaShemashos begins. So that's one thing we want to say before we go on. Tanur Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa Sheish Tkios Tokim B'Erev Shabbos. We're going to see where they blew these Tkios in order that the people all over should hear the Tkios, because the purpose of these Tkios, the blast of the shofar, and there were 6 of them, on Erev Shabbos, was to notify the people that it's coming around the bend. It's the time to wrap things up as far as Malach is concerned, and ultimately to light candles of Shabbos. Rishona. So the first set of Tkios is Lahavdil Esa'om Mimalacha Shebasodos. You know, if you're working out in the fields, it's going to take you a while till you get back into the city, so early enough we want you to close shop, so to speak. We want you to refrain from any malacha, any labor in the fields. Shnia. Then there was a second shofar blowing, and that was Lahavtil Ir Vichanuyos. That was to notify the people in the city, or people ran the stores, they were shop owners, to notify them that at this point we're not ready yet for lighting the Shabbos candles, but Lahavtil Ir V'chanuyos, we're ready to close up shop in the city. And there wasn't that much of a time lapse between closing up shop in the city and getting back home, because it's in the urban center. So this is already a later tekiah, and we're getting closer to nightfall. And then Shlishis, finally we get to the third set of tkios, and that's Lahadlik Asaner. That's the notification. Now we about to begin Shabbos. Light your Shabbos candles. Divrei Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Shlishis Lachlots Tfilin. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the third set of tkios is meant to notify the public that it's time for chalitzas tefillin, to take off your tefillin. And the premise here is that people wore tefillin the whole day, and that was common practice. And the other premise is that we don't allow tefillin on Shabbos, which means that the tefillin have to be off, they have to be taken off before he accepts Shabbos. Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchas Tefillin codifies this halacha that on Shabbos and Yontif we do not wear tefillin. So as the Shabbos is about to commence, then wearing tefillin has to cease, has to terminate. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi has a fourth tekiah to signal that it's time to light the Shabbos candles. So whereas Rabbi Nosson, the Tanakhama, he has only 3 sets of tekiahs. He doesn't have a separate tekiah for tefillin. Rav Yehuda Anasi has a separate tekiya for tefillin, indicating a little bit more time to wear tefillin, give us a little bit more of a stretch for the mitzvah, but he's going to have another subsequent tekiya, which will be number 4, and that's going to be time to light Shabbos candles. The Braisa continues, V'shoeh kidei tzlias dag katan. Now, what does it mean? We have 3 tekiyos, or according to Rav Yehuda Anasi, 4. And he's got to wait a short amount of time in order to blow the final set of blasts, which is called Tokea Maria Tokea. So he waits after the 3rd Tekia, and what he has is the time period it would take to roast a small fish over the fire, very short period of time, or alternatively, the time it would take to put a dough into the oven and bake it by smacking it up to the side of the oven. This is a very short period of time. And then, tokea umeria vitokea. These are the last 3 tekios, or according to Rebbe, these are the lead. This is the final round. Making it up, now we have 7 tekios. See? So there's a tekiya, a trua, and a tekiya, what we call on Rosh Hashanah, tarat. And that's going to tell us that it's time for Shabbos. The Shabbos. Now, we have here a machlokes between the Bahag and the Ran about the following issue. Is Hadlokas Neros considered Kabbalah Shabbos? Going to the Bahag, once you light the Neros, then it's Shabbos and it's also Melacha. The Ran tries to support the Bahag initially from the Braisa that says that Chalitzas Tefillin is before Hadlokas HaNer. And furthermore, from the fact that there's a 3rd set of tekios, which the Braisa says, Sile kamasalik vehitmin amatmin vehidlik hamadlik. And he puts Hadlokas Neros at the end, that even though Hatmana is permissible, Muteris Yosef Samach l'Shabbos mehadlokas haner, and this is based on a Gemara about Sofik HaShecha, Ein Madlikas HaNer, Avol Tom Nes HaChamin, so you could do this Hatman a little bit later. But the Chachamim were misaking that Hadlokas Ner should be the last of the Melachas, and he shouldn't do any Melacha after Hadlokas HaNer, because since Hadlokas HaNer is a Melacha which is for the mitzvah of Tzorach Shabbos, therefore it's the beginning of Shvisa, and it constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos, and therefore the Chachamim were misaking that then he should light the Ner Shabbos, he should be gomer b'dayto, that after this adlok, he's not doing any more melacha. And what it says here, that he shoa kedei tzlias dag katan after adlokas ner, it doesn't mean that the madlik himself should be tzola or should be ofe, he's not doing the roasting or the baking, but rather it's a shir shahir for the tokea between the first set of tekios and the last set of tekios. However, the Mordechai quotes from Beni Yoel, and he holds that you're allowed to do Atmana even after Kabbalah Shabbos. The Rashba and the Ramban try to prove from our sugya and from other sugyas that Hadlokas Ner is not Kabbalah Shabbos. And on this we have an Arichas Dvorim. Now before we get to Omar Rabbi Yossi, just 1 second. We have here at the end of the Braisa a statement of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and this is a kind of a critique of the practice that was common in Bavel. And he said the following: "On Rav Shimon Gamliel, ma nasalim la bavliim? What should we do with the bavliim? What should we do about them, if you will? She Bitkios amavdilos bein Shabbos l'cholim tokin umariyim v'shovsim mitoch shemariyim. And what that means is that they seem to have a shvisa after the trua and not after the tkia. And that's against our brisa, because our brisa requires not just the tkia and a trua, but also a tkia lachrea. So they have a shvisa after trua. So the Gemara, before it gives an answer to this question about the Bavliim, the Gemara first questions this. It says, Tokin Umariyim. Is it true that the Bavliim left out, they omitted the last Tekiah, and they started Shabbos after the Trua following the Tekiah? And Havaluhu Chamisha. According to that, we only have five tekiyos, because he dropped the last tekiyah. So the Gemara answers, Ela tokin v'chozrim v'tokin. Which means Ela shetokim v'chozrim v'tokim umariyim v'shosin Mitoch Mariam. So what does this mean? That the Bavliim would first blow a tekiah, then they would blow another tekiah, and then they would blow a trua, and then there would be shoves after the trua. So they have also shesh tekiyos, but the last of the six blasts would be a trua. And not the way we have it at our brisa, that the last of the six blasts should be a tekiyah. So that's the objection that Rav Gamliel raises. So again, let's just go over this and see how we get six tekiyos. It says tokim, v'chozim v'tokim, umariyim, v'shovsim mitoch mariyim. So how do you get six here? I'm just a little bit wondering about this. One second. I mean, he says here, the mesifta afheim toku sheish tekiyos, ela shatrua hoisa Bachrona. So let's see. Tokim v'chozrim v'tokim umariyim. I'm going to suggest the following. Not sure if this is right. That tokim v'chozrim v'tokim means that a tekiah trua tekiah, and then another trua tekiah trua tekiah. So that two tarats, which equals six, and then the trua would symbolize, connote that it's time for Shabbos. And the Gemara answers that minig avoseihem b'yadeihem, that we shouldn't criticize the Bavliim because that was the minig that they had. Now we're up to Masni le Rav Yehuda le Rav Yitzhak Berei. So that Rav Yehuda had a brisa that he taught to his son Rav Yitzhak. Shnia Lahadlik Es Haner. So which means the second tekiah would be the one that would signify it's time to light the Ner Shabbos. And that's Lokrab Nosim Velokrab Yudha Nosi. This is a third shita that we didn't have in the previous Baisa. We had either three or four, now we have two. And the Gemara is not happy with that. Why should we have a third sheet? And why should there be only two sets of tekiyos? Ella shlishis lahadlik esaner kiman k'Rabbi Nosson. So we're going to change the gears in the brisa from shnia to shlishis. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael sheish tekiyos tokim be'erev Shabbos hiskel l'tkoa tekiyah rishona What was the signal of the first tkiya? Is nimnu ha'omnim besada miladar umilachrosh. This was a message to the people out in the fields that it's time to stop digging and plowing. Umilasos komalachas shabbos sada, and to do any of the malachas in the field. The Eina Krovim Rashaim Likanes. Now you might think that, you know, there are fields that are closer to the city. The people in those fields would first enter into the city. But no, the Brisa says they're not allowed to. Achiyavo Rechokim Vikonsu Kum Kechot. Everyone should wait for the other ones, and they should come into the city, enter the city together. And v'tamadov, the reason for this is k'deish lo yachshidu asanichnosim b'achronish osku b'malachtam achar sheshomos kol ha-shofar. No one should suspect that the last ones to come into the city did continue their malach after the shofar, after they heard the shofar. Sharei ein ha-kol makirim mime ha-krovim u'mime ha-rechokim. So this way, when they all come in together, nobody knows who are the ones who are further, and who are the ones who are closer, and they come in all together. Vadain chanuyos psuchos, and at this point in time, those who have their merchandise, their stalls in the city, they're still selling. Utrisin munochim, and the trisim, we call them the shutters, or the window shutters, on these various stalls would be resting on stands. In other words, they're still displaying the wares of the vendor. But hiskel utkot tkiyah shniyah, when they get to the second round of tkiyos, then nistalku atrisim, then they have to close the shutters, v'ninalu hachanuyos, and they have to lock up their stores. V'adayin chamin munochim al gabi kira. We still have not gotten to the third stage, when we have to tell people to take the hot water off the stove. Kderus menochas agabi kira, and pots full of food were still on the stove. Hiskil iskoat kiyah shlishis, they got to the third round of tkiyos. Isilek hamasalek vehitmin hamatmin vehidlik hamadlik. At this point, the pots that have to be removed from the fire have to be removed. Some of those pots had liquid, some had solid. Let's assume it was an Eidu Gorof, Eidu Kotu. Behitmin amatmin. And if you wanted to insulate food for tomorrow's meal, this is the last moment to do the insulation, because after this we're not matmin. Even Dover Sheinu Mosifevel. From Madlik Madlik, now's the time to light Ner Shabbos. Vishoe Kidei Tzlias Dag Koton. So even after the third round of blowing, there still was a little bit of time, the time it takes to roast a small fish, or to attach the dough inside the inside wall of the hot oven, and then they would finally blow the last tekiah, Trua Tkia Vishoves, and at that point Shabbos has arrived. And there's no more room for Moloch at that point. Fine, let's just see where we're up to now. Oh. Now we're up to Omer Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, and he says, Shamati, I heard, Shimbola hadlik achar sheish tkios. So if he hasn't yet lit the candles, and they blew the last set of the six sets of tkios, right, so let's go over it. The first set of tkios were for the omdim besada. They were out in the fields. The second set was for the chanuyos psuchos. And the third was to tell them to stop, you know, to take all the food off the fire, etc., etc., and light the candles. So that was the three sets. Each set each set had a tekiah, trua tekiah. And now we waited, just 1 second. So now, after the people already, just 1 second. So each of the first three tekiahs was meant to tell a message, to signal a kind of a shvisa, whether it's to the those who the sadas, as we said, then to those chanuyos in the city, and then finally to the, everybody else. And then, you know, after that third tekiah, or shall we call it the third set of tekiah, because the, maybe each set had a tarat, as we said, then we're ready for sort of like the closure. And there was a time period between the third tekiah and the implementing that third tekiah, meaning the third tekiah would signal, hey buddy, you know, it's time to get your tavshilim off the fire, and it's time to light the candles. Now we give you a little bit of time to achieve that goal, let's say to light your candles. And then the last set, which is, let's call it tekiah, trua tekiah, which is numbers 4, 5, and 6, they already told you that we're finished with this this period of time, where we gave you that interval of time to light the Ner Shabbos, because now it's already Shabbos. But Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, he says, Shamati Shimbola Hadagacha Shesh Tekiahs, even after the sixth Tekiahs, so you had 1, 2, 3, and then the last set, which is considered 4, 5, and 6, and that seems to be the closure already. No, he can still be Madlik. If he hasn't lit, we'll give him another little bit of time after the sixth Tekiah. Shrei Nosim Chachamim Shir Lechazon HaKnesses Laholik Shofro LeBeiso, because the one who's blowing the shofar, we'll call him the Chazon HaKnesses, he has to be given a little bit amount of time after the last blast that he blew to bring his shofar back to his house. Amalo, but the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Yossi, and they said, Imkein Nosata Dvarecha L'Shiurim, that you're not giving me a set uniform time, because it all depends upon where the Chazon HaKnesses lives and how long it'll take him to get home. Ella, but rather, Mokom Tzanua Yeshlo L'Chazon HaKnesses B'Rosh Gago. He had a place which was secure on top of the roof. He would blow the shofar on the top of the roof so that everyone in the community would hear the shofar. And then he would hide it on the top of the roof. So there was we don't need another allowance of time for the Chazon HaKnesses to find a place to put away his shofar. Lefi she'ein metaltelin lo es ha-shofar v'lo es ha-chatzotzros. And once it's Shabbos, he can't start carrying the shofar around. So that he has to push it. He has to find a very close proximity to where he blew the shofar to hide the shofar. And at this point, we're going to discuss a little bit about the Issur Tiltul, which would apply here in this Braisa to both shofar and chatzotzros. So first let's raise a stira l'chora to another Braisa. Vatanya, we have another Braisa that says shofar mitaltel. You are allowed to carry a shofar. There's no Issur Tiltul in a shofar. V'chatzotzros ain't a mitaltel in. And only chatzotzros are prohibited in an Issur Tiltul. Now, what's the difference between a shofar and chatzotzros? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to analyze. Chatzotzros ain't a mitaltelin. We don't move the trumpets. So here we're on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Just 1 second, I skipped something again. Sorry, I've been doing this a few times here. V'chatzotzos eino mitaltelin. But shofar it says mitaltel. So how do we reconcile this contradiction between the two brises with regard to shofar, whether it has an Issur Tiltul or not? Omar Rav Yosef, lo kasha. Kan biyochid, kan bitzibur. So the brisa that permits moving a shofar, there's no isa tiltil, it's not mukta, is biyochid, a privately owned shofar. But kan bitzibur, the first brisa which says that it's also to be metaltil a shofar, that's the shofar of the Chazan HaKnesses. Because that's not going to be used for anything except for tekios. And tekios is not something that we do on Shabbos. So we have here klishim latul isur. Mashenken, in the case of a privately owned shofar, that's not a klishim latul isur. It has other functions. Omle abaye ubiyochid lomai chazi. What are you going to use a shofar for if not for blowing the shofar, which is prohibited on Shabbos? And the answer is Hoel Veroy Legama Bo Mayim Latino. Okay, so here we're ready to turn to Lamed Vav Omid Aleph. So shofar is bent, it's not straight. And therefore, if a baby needs to drink, we can feed him water through a shofar if we don't have any other cup. The shofar has the round part on top and it gets thinner on the bottom, so that we can put the lip, more narrow part of the shofar into the mouth of the child, and then pour the water in. So the Gemara asks now, but Zibur Nami, why can't you take the shofar that's used for the community shofar, and use that for the same purpose? Is also Nami Chazi Legamea Litinok Oni. If the parents don't have the ability to feed that child, now the responsibility falls onto the tzibur. And in the case of an impoverished child, the tzibur will use the shofar to feed water to the child. Vesu and further, Hadisanya, the Bryce says, K'shem shem mataltalin es ha-shofar, kach mataltalin es ha-chatzotzos. We now have a third Bryce, and this Bryce allows you even to move trumpets. Is Mani, who is the author of this Brisa? So at this point, Abai rejects Rav Yosef's explanation. Elolo kasha, ha Rav Yehuda, ha Rav Shimon, ha Rav Nechemia. And when you're talking about the status of a shofar, the status of chatzotros, all this depends upon a three-way machlokes between Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Nechemia. Rav Yehuda holds that anything that's primarily used for Isur is considered mukta. Rav Shimon says no, if it still can be used for something else, it has other usages, then it's mutter. And Rav Nechemia is the most machmir of the three, and he says you can only use, or let's say move, a kli, a utensil, for the purpose that it's primarily dedicated for, its main use. So let's go through the various brises. We had one brisa that permits tiltul in both shofar and in chatzotzos. That was the third brisa. That would reflect the shita of Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon holds that even something that's designated for an Isur, it's a klishim latul Isur, is not mukta. Now we have a brisa that is mati a shofar, but asis trumpets, chatzotzos. So that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda. Because the shofar is permitted because he can feed water to a child. The trumpet, on the other hand, since it doesn't have that bend, it's mukta because it's a pasha to klishim latul Isur, it has no other purpose except for blowing, making music. And Rabbi Nechemia, he's going to be the author of the brisa that forbids both shofar and trumpets because the basic use, the primary use of a shofar is for blowing and making music and not for legabe boas atinok. Hence it's mukta according to Rav Nechemia. It's interesting, the Gemara towards the end of this Masechta, in explaining Rav Nechemia, speaks about a case of a knife, and you want to use a knife to cut rope on Shabbos. Let's assume it's mutter to cut rope on Shabbos, but because the knife primarily is used to cut food and not to cut ropes, it becomes forbidden to use the knife to cut ropes. And therefore, according to Abnechemia, it becomes forbidden to take a shofar, a trumpet, for any other reason whatsoever except for blowing and making music. So to use a shofar as a cup for water, this is not its primary use, and therefore would be also, according to Abnechemia, which makes the shofar muktza. Umay shofar nami. Now, in the Brisa of Abnechemia, it says shofar nami. Just one second. Where is, let's get that Brisa. Why did the Brisa, this is Abai's question, have to say, Rabbi Nechemi's Brisa, Kshem Shemetaltel, Shofar Kach Metaltel, I'm sorry. The Brisa says, where is it? Just one second. No. Where's the Brisa of Rabbi Nechemia? This has been a problem for me today. Sorry, I've been looking for things and not finding them. Oh. Lefish Emetatu Loasa Shofar Veloasa Chatzotzros. Right, that was the first price that we had sequentially. So Abai is bothered now. What, once you told me that you can't move a shofar, you don't have to tell me that you can't move a chatzotzros. I mean, that's a kolsh gain. So the Gemara says, "Umay shofar nami chatzotzros." That when it says shofar here, it really means chatzotzros. Kiderav Chizda. The Omer of Chizda, Hani Tlas Mili. Oh, so now we go into the whole discussion about names that changed as a result in the aftermath of Churban Abayis. And one of them is Chatzotzos and Shofros. Ishtani, Hani Tlas Mili, the three things, Ishtani, Shmayayu, their names changed, Michi, Chorev, Beis HaMikdash, after the Mikdash was destroyed. Number one is Chatzotzarta Shofra. In other words, what used to be called the Chatzotzros is now called the Shofar, and Shofra Chatzotzros, and that, what used to be called a Shofar is now called Chatzotzra. So therefore in the Brisa, it's referring when it says Chatzotzra, it's really referring to Shofar, and therefore we understand that Chatzotzra itself is certainly also, no need to tell us, spell that out. In other words, when we talk about the Shofar Rosh Hashanah, and people call it a Chatzotzra, but they have to know that that's a Shofar. but on the other hand, if you call something a Shofar and it's a Chatzotzra, then it's excluded, it's invalid for the mitzvah of Yom Trua Tiyalacha. Then Rav Chizda says, "Arava tzaftzara v'tzaftzafa arava." That what was formerly called arava is now called tzaftzafa, and what's called tzaftzafa, what used to be called tzaftzafa, is now called an arava, and that's going to be a tremendous nafkamina for the Dalad Minim on Sukkis. L'may nafkamina l'lulav, and then finally psora. Psarta and Psarta Psora. So they changed the name. And that which used to be called Psora is now called Psotera. Psarta, excuse me. And that which was formerly called Psorasa is now called Psora. And this has to do with a table and a size of a table. There were larger tables and smaller tables. My nafkamina, who cares what the size of the table is? Is that a halachic statement? He says, lebekachu memka. As if you ordered a shipment of psora, and instead they brought you psorta, then you have a right to claim mekartos. This is not what I ordered. Omar Abaye wants to give other examples of words whose meaning changed over the course of time. Afanan, af anu nomar, Hovlila Beikasi. And Beikasi Hovlila. So that which used to be called by the name of Hovlila Beikasi is now called Beikasi huvlila. And this has to do with the biology of an animal which is malagera. In other words, it has different parts of the stomach, and therefore it's a kosher animal. It actually has four stomachs, a kosher animal. And the first of the four is where the food enters immediately when the animal swallows the food. It's the first stomach. It's called the keres. And the food starts decaying over there. Then it stores. Then the food is passed on to a second stomach. It's called the beis hakosos. And then from there it goes to a third stomach, which is called the hemset. And finally to the fourth stomach, which is called the keva. So Abai tells us that originally people referred to the second, to the third of these stomachs, which is called the hemset, and they called it by its Aramaic name, which is huvlila. And the last of the four, which is called the keva, they use the name beikasi. And Lamai Nafkimina, now Beikasi is called Hovlila, Hovlila is called Beikasi, is Nafkimina Lamachat Shenimtzeis Biovi Beis Hakosos, Demitzad Echad Kshera Mishneit Stadim Trefa. If an animal is found to have a hole in its Beis Hakosos or in its Hemseit, then it is Trefa. But there's a little bit of a difference here in the case of the beis hakosos, which is a very thick kind of an organ. It has two layers of tissue. So then if you find a needle in the wall of beis hakosos, the animal is a trefa only if the needle can be visible on both sides. It means it perforated the organ in its entirety, puncturing both the inner and the outer layer of the wall. Now, if on the other hand you find a needle in the hemset, and the hemses, so then that's got a thin wall, and even if the needle is punctured only one side of it, the organ is considered perforated and the animal is considered a trefa. Omer Avashi Afanan Nomar Bovel Bursif Bursif Bovel. So the name's changed here from Bovel to Bursif and back and forth. And Lamainaf Gimina Legite Noshit, because in a get Isha, it's critical to write down the shem makom, the place where the man and the woman live. And if there's a shinui makom, if the name does not reflect where they actually live, that could passle the get. And if that be the case, then when you write a get, you have to write bovel or bursif, and that which used to be called Bovel is now called Bursif. That's what's usually called Bursif. Bursif is called Bovel. Hadron Alecha B'Mem Adlikin. And now we finished Perek B'Mem Adlikin. And we could go on to Bezer Hashem Perkira, the third Perek. And this is going to discuss the laws of leaving food in the oven Erev Shabbos, and it'll cook during Shabbos itself.